main menu.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Hello there, this is Jonathan Mosen welcoming you to Main Menu, ACB Radio Mainstream's weekly look at technology from a blindness perspective. And coming up over the next 2 hours, it's just one story, a comprehensive review of Pulse Data International's Braille Notes. You'd have to say that the Braille Note has been one of those devices that has really hit the jackpot. It's stimulated a lot of interest. It's wowed a lot of people. Well, finally, I've been able to get my hands on one, and we're going to spend a lot of time showing you around the Braille Note. First of all, let's describe what I have in front of me. It is a unit with a standard Perkins keyboard. They will be releasing, I understand, a QWERTY version of the Braille Note at some point so that you can have a QWERTY keyboard and a Braille display, but I don't think that's out there just yet. I think they may have a QWERTY keyboard with a voice output, but not a Braille display version. So you've got the six Perkins keys plus two other keys, dots 7 and 8, so that you can Braille in 8-dot computer Braille. They also double as a backspace key and an enter key. You've got a space bar there as well, of course. On the front of the unit, there are four thumb controls. These are previous, back, advance, and next. And you can assign those functions to any key, and we might have a look at that a little bit later. So no matter what your preference is and how you read your Braille, you can have access to the keys in the order that you wish. These thumb controls are relevant to the Braille display. They allow you to move through a document that you might be reading and perform other functions. Before getting my hands on the unit, I was a little bit skeptical about the thumb keys. I go back to the original cassette-based VersaBraille days, and as I say, latterly to Blazy products, I've become very used in my electronic Braille reading to skipping ahead and back using an advance bar, which is above the Braille display. So I wondered what the point of these thumb keys were and whether it in fact was going to slow me down. I think that the thumb keys have actually sped up my Braille reading, but not in their default key setup. The advance thumb key in the factory default, which is the standard right-handed set of thumb keys, is the third from the left. So the advance key is sort of in the middle of the display. And I found, I experimented, because you can also have a standard left-hand set of keys, and that reverses the whole order. So that means that the advance key then becomes the second from the left. But I actually found that setting up a custom set for me, which you can do, was the way for me to go. And I think this will depend greatly on the way in which you read Braille. I read Braille with two hands, and I read very fast. And I found that by assigning the advance key to the very left thumb key, that what happens is that as my right hand reaches the end of the Braille display, I can tap the advance thumb key with my left hand, still leaving my Braille reading fingers on my left hand on the display, and scanning ahead as soon as that advance key is hit. And it has actually sped up my Braille reading a lot on electronic displays. So having set them up the way I like them, and it took me a few days to do that, I am now a big fan of the thumb key concept, and I have to honestly say I never thought I would be. I thought that I would be saying that this is not one of the Braille Note's redeeming features. I now believe that it actually is. I have the Braille Note 32, so I have a 32-cell Braille display, and it's really hard for me to talk about this Braille display without sounding totally gushy about it, to be honest. I have to give it an unequivocal thumbs up. This Braille display is the nicest that I have had the privilege of running my fingers across. The cells are crisp and clear. You don't have that sort of mushy feel that you often have in Braille displays. It's the closest thing, anyway. I wouldn't say it's quite as good. It's the closest thing that I've experienced to reading a regular Braille book. Very nice. I think they're Tiemann cells that are being used in this product. Now, the Braille Note does come in either an 18-cell or a 32-cell version, and as I mentioned, they do have other non-Braille versions with similar software. But The good thing is that it's exactly the same unit, whether you purchase the 18-cell or the 32-cell version. The only difference is the length of the Braille display. That's important because it's the cost of these Braille displays that make any Braille display unit at this time so jolly expensive. We hear word from time to time about how some amazing person somewhere is coming up with new technology that's going to make Braille a lot cheaper in electronic devices such as this, but none of them seem to have materialized just yet. So if your resources at present only permit you to obtain an 18-cell Braille note, but you would like to be able to have a 32-cell display further down the track, you have a very simple, painless, apart from the cost, upgrade path to that, because it's the same machine. So all you do is you send the Braille note back to your distributor, they take off the 18-cell display and they add the 32-cell display, take your money and ship it back. So that's a very good system, and it should make upgrading easy and provide a pretty simple path for people who require it in the future. Above the Braille display, you'll find 32 little buttons. These are the cursor routing keys, so that as you're reading something in Braille, if you want to make a correction or you perhaps are using the Braille note as a terminal and you want to be able to quickly get the cursor to the point at which you're reading, you just press the little button above the cell and the cursor's there. That's a nice feature. The Braille note ships with a number of things. It's obviously got a charger so that you can plug it in and both charge it and use it on the electricity. It also has a cassette that goes through the first chapter of the manual. It has a Braille command line summary, a complete print copy of the manual, and it also comes with a soft carrying case. Now, the first thing I must say is that when I got the Braille note and looked at the case, I was quite disappointed. It's going to be inevitable that I will have to make some comparisons, I suppose, between the Braille note and what I'm used to. I've been a user of a Braille Light for over 5 years now. And one of the things I have always enjoyed about the Braille Light is the ability to just hang it round my neck in the very dinky carrying case that they provide, and just open up the case and take notes whenever I need to. It'd be difficult to do that with the case that they supply with the Braille note, although it is very protective. It'll keep your unit nice and safe. But I've actually had a case designed for me for my Braille note that looks like the Braille Light case. So you can open it up and access the keys, and it's got holes cut into it for the headphone socket and the ports. And somebody suggested I should market it. Well, I don't know about that, but it does the job for me. It's a really groovy case, and I like being able to hang it around my neck and use the Braille note whenever I need to. On the left-hand side of the unit, we have a headphone socket and the power switch. It's a standard mini headphone jack, and it appears to be a stereo one, which is quite good because it's easy to plug any headphones into that. On the rear of the unit, there's the AC adapter plug. There's a standard 9-pin serial port, the kind that you would find on any PC, which is refreshing. And you've got a standard parallel port for plugging in a printer. And on the right of the rear panel of the unit, there's a standard RJ11 connector that will connect the Braille note to the telephone if you plug a cable into it, because at least on my unit, I have the modem built into the unit so we can do email, and we'll hopefully find time to demonstrate that a little bit later. On the very far right of the unit, it may not feel like there's another port, but there is. It actually feels like a little window, and that is the Braille Note's infrared port. Yes, we are really getting into the 21st century with this device, and the infrared port is, as we'll talk about when we look at ActiveSync, capable of transmission at some phenomenal speeds, like 1 megabit per second. Lots of laptops have infrared devices, and you can also get connectors for a PC that plug into, say, a serial port or another port and do infrared that way. And also there are some cell phones with infrared ports. I'm quite interested in this because I do have a cell phone with an infrared port, and I have heard that there are some Braille Note users who've been able to use their cell phone as a modem on the road. My cell phone is a GSM digital one. And so I'm quite looking forward to giving that a go, doing email over my Braille note and my cell phone without any wires and any need to be connected up to anything when I'm travelling, which I do quite a lot. I haven't experimented with that yet, but the infrared port is there, and it's certainly capable of doing that. On the right-hand side of the unit, you'll find a PC-MCIA slot. This will allow the Braille Note to perform a range of functions with special cards inserted, such as the Super Disk Drive, I believe, uses that slot at this stage. The Super Disk Drive, which I didn't opt for, but is available for the Braille Note, is really nice because you can store around about 100-odd megs on one little disk, and it also supports your standard 3.5-inch floppies that store 1.4 megs on for compatibility's sake. So if you want to be able to easily back up and have a disk that stores well over 100 megs, and that is a lot of text, then you may like to consider getting the Super Disk Drive if you're considering getting the Braille Note. There is an argument that says if you're predominantly using the Braille Note in an environment where you're going to have access to the same PC on a regular basis, you may be quite happy with the Active Sync tools that are provided and not need the Super Disk Drive. But it's certainly there, and the fact that there's such large storage available is a bonus. On board the Braille Note, there is around about 8 megabytes, I believe, of regular storage memory. Again, that's quite a bit of text, but it is upgradable to 48 megabytes on board. And with that accessory of the disk drive and the Active Sync, there's certainly a lot of ways to store your files. The Braille Note operates on the Windows CE operating system. It's significant to mention that because that really is the basis for the belief that so many people are putting in this device, that the Braille Note will become much bigger in terms of functionality even than it is now. And it's pretty power-packed with features now. There are rumors circulating, I don't know where they start, they're not just in the blind community, I've seen them on other lists as well, that somehow Microsoft is backing away from Windows CE. That's absolutely not the case. You can go to Microsoft.com, and if you want to sift through some of the presentations and speeches that they're making, you will see that they're going out there talking about the next version of Windows CE already. Windows CE is most certainly not dead. The evidence is out there to prove that. It's just not true that somehow the Braille Note is already based on an obsolete operating system. The next version of CE will be out, and we hope that will offer even more functionality. But certainly the Braille Note is based on not just current technology, but developing technology with Windows CE. Now I'm going to turn the unit on, and for the purposes of this review, I have connected the Braille Note to my mixer here in the studio with a cable going from the mixer to the headphone socket. But the speaker in the unit is excellent. I think it's designed perfectly for making the speech easy to understand. I am a big fan of Keynote Gold speech. Speech is a very subjective thing. And I know that a lot of people have said to me, well, the Braille Note would be all right if it wasn't for the speech. Well, I guess it just goes to show it's the old different strokes thing, isn't it? Because for me, the Keynote speech is wonderful. Because most of the time, if it pronounces something wrong, it's a typo. It's extremely accurate. May not be the most natural sounding, it may be arguable, but it's certainly very accurate. I'm going to turn my Braille Note on now by pressing the switch down on the rear of the machine.
Main menu.
And we are in the main menu. The software that's driving the Braille Note is Keysoft. This is a version of Keysoft that Pulse Data International here in New Zealand have produced for Windows CE. And the Braille display is saying main menu. I can also press space with R to repeat the last prompt.
Main menu.
So it repeats main menu for me. Space with R stands for repeat. One of the things that I did find difficult to get used to as a user of both the VersaBraille in the old days and the Lazy products is that the manual for the Braille Note doesn't talk about cording. They don't say press R cord, they say press space with R. Now in the beginning, I thought that was a bit odd because it's such a standard convention. But as I read through the manual, I discovered that the reason why they say that is because you can actually cord a lot of things, not just spacebar. There are a whole lot of quick keys that you can access by pressing Enter with a range of letters and symbols, and also the backspace key with another range of symbols. You can also press them both to get other functions. So there are a lot of quick keys. This thing is extremely friendly That's what I think is really making this thing sell, actually, because it's so easy to use. But if you become a power user, you can pretty much bypass the menu structure altogether, which is a nice feature. Now, if I was a new user, all I'd really need to know is that I have to press H chord to get very good context-sensitive help. I think the thing that has made Keysoft such an indispensable tool since 1986, I think it must be now, that's 15 years ago, for blind people, is its superb context-sensitive help, and they haven't let us down in this unit either. For example, let's press H chord now and hear what advice we're offered.
To review the options, press space. To select any menu option, no, press its initial letter. Main menu.
So I'm going to press the space bar and review the options.
Word processor. Planner. Address list. Email. Book reader. Scientific calculator. File manager. Utilities. Terminal for screen reader. Remote synthesizer. Keyboard learn. Information.
And that's the end of the menu. If I push space again.
End of menu. Main menu.
And then I press space. Another time we're back round, it cycles around to the main menu announcement again. So those are the options available to us on the top level menu. There's also an options menu available from anywhere in the unit that you can get to by pressing space with O. And there are some nice things in there. Let's take a quick look at the word processor to start off with and find out what features it has. So to use the menu method, I could just press the space bar.
Word processor.
Or I could press W to get straight to word processor. You just press the initial letter of the menu choice, but I'm going to press enter now because I'm on word processor.
Keyword menu.
Now we're in the keyword menu, so we follow a similar procedure. We can use the space key and backspace to move through the menu. We can also, for, I guess, consistency for those of us who are used to Blazy products, use .4 and the space bar and .1 and the space bar to move around the menus. And we can also use the thumb keys to navigate the menus, so there are some options there that will suit everybody, I'm sure.
Create a document. Open a document. Emboss a document. Print a document. End of menu.
So, let's create a document. I can press the letter C.
Folder name. Press enter for general.
And it's asking me for the folder name. If I wish, I can press the space bar and cycle through the folder options. Again, if I didn't know that, we can press H and the space bar and get some help.
Either type a folder name and press enter, or to review the list of folders, press space. You may create a new folder if you wish, simply type its name. Alternatively, to select a path name, press space with T. To change the current drive, press backspace. Folder name, press enter for general.
Alright, so there are lots of options there and it tells you about them. You can repeat that announcement at any time, of course. I will accept at this point the general folder, so I'll press enter.
Document to create.
It's asking me for a document to create. Now, at this point, I can type... Well, let's see what the help tells us.
Type a name for this new document and press enter. File type, Braille document. To create a different type of file, press backspace with X repeatedly. To change the current drive or folder, press backspace. Document to create.
So, if I type in a document name now, and I can type it in Grade 2 Braille, it's going to create a Braille document. That means that I can Braille in Grade 2, and I'll be able to read it back in Grade 2, all of those things, and later I can print that or convert it to a Word document or whatever. Now, if I want to create a native file in another format, I can rotate through the options, the file creation options, even before I create the document, by pressing backspace with X. Well, it helps if I press the right key.
Create a Braille document. Document to create.
I'm pressing it again.
Create a text document. Document create an ASCII text file. Document create a Microsoft Word file. Document create a rich text format file. Document create a WordPerfect file. Document to create a Keysoft version 2 Braille document. Document to create a Keysoft version 2 text document. Create a key list definition file. Create a Braille document. Document to create.
So there are a lot of options there, including creating Microsoft Word files, rich text files, which are understood by most word processors, and the good thing about RTF files is that they do accept some formatting information in there, so that's good. And WordPerfect is supported as well. So on this little device, you can pretty much be certain that you can create a nicely formatted document that you can then, of course, send as an email attachment on this device to someone who can read it. I'm going to stick with creating a Braille document for the purposes of demonstrating some of the features. And we shall call it Braille Note Review. So I'm going to type B-I-L.
Braille.
And I've got it echoing words at the moment, and so it said the word Braille. It's instantly translated the abbreviation for me. Note.
Note.
Review. And they don't seem to require you to put a file extension. I think that sometimes when you put a file extension, it does its best to have a guess at the file type you want. But I'm just putting Braille Note Review, and I'll press Enter.
Review of a document. Blank.
Now, I'm in the document, and if I'm stuck, I can press H with the spacebar from here.
Keyword help menu.
And we've got a menu of help options this time.
Edit commands. Review commands. Braille thumpy commands. Miscellaneous commands. End of menu.
So, you've got the commands that you can access in Keyword, which is the Keysoft word processor, available to you, sorted into a range of handy submenu options. I will press the press E with the spacebar, actually.
Exit blank.
To get out of that help menu. I'm back in my document, and I'm just going to do some typing here. Let's see, we shall type hello.
Hello, period.
This is Jonathan Mosen.
Jonathan Mosen.
Typing on the Braille note. Now,
note, period, new line.
One of the interesting things about the Braille note is that it's sticking to the kind of convention that the VersaBraille, I think, used to use, and other Braille displays use, but that the Blazy note takers never seems to, which is that when you put a new line symbol, when you press Enter, rather than seeing Control-M, which I actually got quite used to, which showed you that it was the hard return character, you see $P. Now, that is, I think, a banner standard. The Braille Authority of North America standard, but I liked the Control-M because it took up one character instead of two. But, you know, you get used to these things. I know that when I saw the Braille note on the review stands, that the keyboards were quite noisy. They seem to have done a lot of excellent work in quietening the keyboard down. It's quite acceptable as far as I'm concerned. Now I'm going to go to the top of the document, and there is some similarity with the Blazy products. You just press dots 1, 2, 3 with the spacebar to get to the top of the document.
Top of document. Hello, period.
And it tells me the word under the cursor, and I can review that. Hello, this is Jonathan Mosen typing on the Braille note. It's come up, and then I push the thumb key to get to the next line, and it beeped at me to say, well, there is no next line after the one that I'm on. I guess what one might normally do is spell check this document. To do that, you do a CH with the spacebar. That's a grade 2 CH symbol.
Spelling checker menu.
And we can choose here.
Document check. Look up word. Word check. Paragraph or section check. Check from cursor to end of document. Select language. End of menu.
And we'll press D for document check.
Document check. Spell check complete. 10 words checked. 0 unknown words found. Hello, period.
I like that because it gives me a word count at the same time. And I also like it because, I guess, because it's an international product, they realize that there are different English spellings around the world. America spells things differently from Britain and New Zealand and a number of other countries, and so you can choose the spelling dictionary. So now I don't have the problem of it getting all upset when I spell favorite with O-U-R, or colour with O-U-R, and a number of other things like that, so that's very nice. So the spell checker works well, it's quite fast. No thesaurus, though, and I was hoping for one. Maybe that will come in a future release. I think that would really beef it up nicely. I'm going to go to the top of this document.
Top of document.
And I'm going to insert something. We're permanently in insert mode, as we are generally with any modern word processor, so I'm just going to type main
menu
review. Put a full stop there and put two new lines.
Review period, new line.
Okay.
Top of document.
Now going back to the top of the document, and I'm going to go to the format menu. To do that, I press .236, .2346, in fact, with the spacebar.
Format menu.
And we've got a range of options in the format menu.
Layout. Center align. Right justify align. Style of presentation. Imprint settings. Page settings. Templates. End of menu.
So it's pretty powerful, all the stuff you can do. I'm going to press E and the spacebar to exit.
Exit.
And I'm back at the top of the document. Dots 7 and 8 are above, below rather, the capital sign at the beginning of main menu review. So that shows me that that's where my cursor is. I could choose center line from that format menu, but I can also, since I've started to learn some of the power commands to speed myself up on this, I can also press enter with the C key.
Center line.
And that's all that there is to it. It's now centered. Main menu review is now a centered heading. Now I can also, similarly, say I was going to save this as a Microsoft Word file, which I can do either through the translation menu or by pressing S with the spacebar for save and then cycling through, sort of like a save as dialog in Windows. I can cycle through whether I want to save this as a WordPerfect file or a Word file or whatever. So I can keep my keyword copy, which I like working in, the native keyword braille files, but there might come a time when I want to send off a draft and I can save under another file name a copy of this in any of those other formats I want, perhaps to send to a sighted person who might want to amend it or review it. So I want to get into the habit of using styles which make things look good in Word, so let's go to the format menu again.
Format menu.
And we'll press S for style.
Presentation style. Currently paragraphs.
And I want this to be a heading, so let's cycle through the style choices.
Paragraphs. Heading.
That's fine. We'll just keep going so I can show you what else there is.
Subheading. Outline. Lines. Identical to source. End of menu.
Right, so I press H for heading.
Heading style main.
That's it, and now we have main menu review, and it's applied the heading style. So that's how easy it is to apply quite nice-looking format information. You can also bold and underline, although the styles sometimes apply those features anyway. And you can turn on different levels of proofing. For example, in the first time around, you may be more interested in just getting the formatting, getting the text sorted out, making sure that you're saying what you want to say. And once you've got the actual language that you're using correct, then you may want to go back and really concentrate on getting it looking nice. So you can turn on different levels of intervention in terms of how much you're told about what's going on. You can, of course, if you prefer to work exclusively in Braille, turn the speech off, and you can also turn the Braille off if you want. They say that, you know, while there's quite a lot of juice in the battery, that the speech does use batteries more quickly than the Braille display will. Now, there's a menu for doing it all, but you can also just hold down one of the thumb keys and press the spacebar.
Speech on request.
Speech on request is a really interesting feature. There are some commands in BrailleNote that are exclusively speech-related. For example, your dots 1-4 say with the spacebar say the current line or sentence. Dots 2-5 with the spacebar say the current word. Dots 3-6 with the spacebar say the current character. Sound familiar? I'm sure it will if you're a Blazy product user. So when you have speech on request, only commands that have an explicit speech function are spoken. And one of the really nice things about this unit is that they've actually separated the ability to have the auto-scrolling of the Braille display at a speed adjustable by you from the speech, the continuous speech. So there's one command for continuous speech and another command for continuous scrolling of the Braille display. So because that continuous speech command, which happens to be G with the spacebar, is explicitly speech, when I have it on the speech on request mode, it will start speaking. So it's a very good concept, and maybe it might take you a while to get used to what causes it to speak in this mode and what doesn't, but it soon becomes pretty self-evident as you become used to the system. So then if we press spacebar again with the thumb key, it's saying speech off on the Braille display. I'll turn it back on because it's not much fun showing you the Braille display on a radio program, is it?
Speech on.
So speech is on again, that's right. So that's the word processor. Obviously, I can only take you for a quick tour of each of these functions, and we can't spend too much time, but I think it's a very good word processor. There are a few things that a really professional writer, perhaps in academic circles or professional writing, may miss. For example, I'm fairly sure there's no way to do footnotes, and you can't generate tables of contents automatically and things like that. But for basic, and I guess intermediate, I would say, not just basic, but intermediate word processing, this does a really nice job. And it's very intuitive. I mean, help is on the way at any time, whenever you need it. So I'm going to go to the main menu, and the main menu command is all six dots with the space bar.
Main menu.
It saved the file for me, and I'm back to the main menu. To open a document, we'll just go back with W for
keyword
word processor,
menu.
And then O for open.
Folder name, press enter for general. Document to open, press enter for Braille note review.
And it remembered the last document I was working in, so I could just press enter to get back into Braille note,
documents in general
Braille
folder.
Note review, but I've just hit the space bar and I can cycle through my documents.
Braille note review, Braille note and JFW readme.pwd.
PWD appears to stand for Pocket Word Document, and it's a format that Windows CE seems to understand and that ActiveSync converts to when you send a Word document over the ActiveSync. We'll talk about ActiveSync a bit later.
Clients.brf.
Okay, we won't go there. Not on a public show anyway.
Client.brf.
So there are a few files in here, and I'm just cycling through. I can also press the first letter of the file, for example.
March 2000 Feedback Line Report.
There you go, I just hit the letter M, and it jumped me straight to the first file, beginning with M. So it's a bit like being in a list box in Windows, really, which is very nice. Now, there's one thing I must say also before I forget to say it, because when I read about it in the manual, I just thought, how groovy. And that is, when you're in the word processor, as I said to you just a moment ago, you have a series of commands that speak certain units, such as lines, sentences, characters. There's also commands that speak the previous current and next paragraph or section, depending on whether you have it in sentence or line mode. Linear or textual, I guess you'd say. And as we know, as Windows users, in Windows there are commands for those sorts of things, up and down a line and a paragraph and words and characters. And by holding down Shift with all of those commands, you select different elements. And it seems to me that Braille Note has followed a similar concept with deletions. Now, there is a nice deletion menu, so I'm just going to go back into my main menu review, and we'll do Word Processor, open.
Folder name, press enter for general. Document to open, press enter for Braille Note review. New line.
All right, and it's put me exactly where my cursor was when I left. Here's the deletion menu. We'll go to the top of the file.
Document. Heading style.
And there's the heading style marker. But I'm going to press D with the space bar.
Delete.
And I can cycle through the options.
Character.
Now, I can also press the D with the space bar twice to delete the character under the cursor.
Word. Previous word. Sentence. Paragraph. Document. End of menu.
So, there it all is. But the really cool thing about this is that it seems that that the pulse data people have followed some sort of Windows conventionality, because if you press any of the unit commands with the backspace key, it will delete that unit. For example, dots 2-5 and the spacebar will read the current word.
Heading style.
At the moment, it's over a heading style marker, so let me just move.
Center line, main.
There's the word main.
Main, dot 6, M-A-I-N.
And it's spelling it, and you can hear that it's saying I-N sort of quickly, because it's trying to tell you that it's the I-N contraction, which is neat. Now, so dots 2, 5, and the space bar speaks the current word.
Main.
If I press dots 2, 5 with the backspace key.
Menu.
It's deleted the current word. Similarly, dots 3-6 in the spacebar will speak the current character. Backspace with dots 3-6 will delete the current character, and so it goes on. The fact that there is that consistency really does remind me of the beauty of working in the Windows environment and the logic that's employed with selection there. So well done to them for that idea. I'm going to now show you another trick, which is that I don't want to save this change that I just did, deleting the word. I can press backspace with the letter Q for quit.
Lose changes. Sure.
Yes, I want to lose those changes, so I press Y.
Yes, abandoning keyword. Keyword menu.
And now it hasn't saved those changes, so that's a nice feature as well. Also, it would be a bit remiss of me to move on without showing you some other features. Let's just go back in here now with O.
Folder name, press enter for general document.
And it's very responsive. I can cut off the speech at any time. Now, one of the nice features that has always been in QSoft and has found its way into BrailleNote is the system of place markers that BrailleNote has. You can set up to 26 place markers numbered from A through to Z in your keyword document for quick reference. So let's say that I want to quickly set a marker here, a place marker, at the point where my text starts, past the heading. So I'm going to press space with dots 5-6 to get me past the to the next paragraph.
Hello.
And
this
I'm on
Jonathan
the word
Moulton.
Hello.
This is Jonathan
and
Moulton.
I'm just
typing
going to stop it from reading and get my cursor back in the right place.
Jonathan, this hello period.
Okay, I've done that with those keys. I'm now over the dot 6 of hello for capital. Now I'm going to press backspace with the letter D.
Define place marker. Letter.
And again, I can push H chord for help.
So name a place marker. Type a letter between A and T. Define place marker. Letter.
We'll call it place A.
A place A.
Now I'm going to go to the bottom of the file.
Bottom of document. Blank.
I mean, this is not a big document by any means. But if I were to quickly jump back to the first line of real text past the heading, I can now just press J with the spacebar.
Jump to place marker. Letter.
And press the letter A. Of course, if I press another letter like B,
we cannot find place marker. Jump to place marker. Letter.
And we'll press A.
A place A. Hello period.
And it's put my cursor right on the dot 6 of the capital sign for hello, which is where I put the place marker. Now, you can appreciate that if you're in a really large document and you're doing a lot of editing, moving around and things like that, to have these 26 place markers to be able to set markers throughout the file is a really excellent feature. Also, the block manipulation commands are nice. I might want to get rid of this heading. I'm going to go to the top of the file with the dots 123 chord, and I can now press... let's show you the long way round. We can do a B with the spacebar for the block commands menu.
Block commands menu. Append block to clipboard.
This is something that Windows should have. Not only can you copy a piece of text to the clipboard, but you can also append to the clipboard. So, if you are taking bits and pieces from a whole range of files and you want them put in one file, you can keep appending to the clipboard without worrying about the clipboard being overwritten.
Copy block to clipboard. Delete block.
You can delete a block. So, for example, if you have quite a large section of a document that spans quite a lot of pages or whatever, you can put a block marker at the beginning, get to the bottom, and then just put delete block and it's gone.
Insert file.
It seems a bit sort of odd to have this in the block menu, but you can insert a file. That's quite good if you have a letterhead designed and you open a nice new document, and then you can just insert the letterhead file at the top.
Move block to clipboard.
So, again, this is what Windows would call cutting to the clipboard. You can take something out of your document and put it on the clipboard for pasting somewhere else.
Paste clipboard. Read block.
That's a good feature. You can come in here and read the block, just so you can be absolutely sure that you've marked as a block what you thought you had.
Store block.
You can store a block of text in a separate file. Again, another handy feature.
Top marker insertion.
So here's where we mark the top of the block.
Bottom marker insertion.
And here's where we mark the bottom. If no bottom marker is given, then the cursor position appears to be assumed as the bottom.
Erase file and exit keyword.
Well, yeah.
Tap. Erase the black markers. Tandem menu.
All right.
Tab. Erase the black marker.
So let's mark the top of the block.
Erase bottom marker and top marker insertion.
Now you can do all this from hotkeys, by the way. You don't have to go through this menu.
Top of block. Heading style.
All right. That's the top of the block.
Center line. Main menu. Review period. New line. New line.
And now I've gone past the main menu review.
Place A.
And it tells me that there's place A. Now I'm going to delete the block, I think, so we'll go B chord.
Block command menu.
D.
Delete block. Sure.
Yes.
Yes, block deleted. Place A.
And now, when I go to the top place of the document, here I am with place A and hello! So that's great. It's got rid of the heading. Now, I could delete the current paragraph and done the same thing, of course, but it's just another way. The block system is very well done in Keyword. And just while we're on the subject of the clipboard, I can mention here that there is excellent integration between the various Keysoft applications and the clipboard. So what I'm getting at is that you can, for instance, get some material from a Keyword document, copy it to the clipboard, and perhaps paste it in as notes for one of your contacts in your address list, or notes that are pertinent to a particular appointment in your planner, or whatever. You can also insert material from the address list or the planner into a Keyword document. So the integration is very good, and it allows you to share information between these different applications in a way that helps organize things. There are many other features that are excellent about this word processor, but that's just a brief tour of some of the things. Let's get out of here.
Main menu.
And I'd like to show you now, before we go through some of the other options, the excellent user's guide that is built in online. I must say I had a very unfavorable reaction when I unpacked the Braille notes and found that there wasn't a full copy of the Braille manual. But I've now realized that it's a fairly sound decision, because if you can go through the Braille material that is included and the cassette material, it does show you that the user's guide is all online on the Braille notes and extremely well done in terms of its ability to be accessible to quickly get to where you want to go. To go there, we bring up the options menu with O with the spacebar.
Options menu.
And there are some nice things in here which we will cycle through with the spacebar. That tells us the date.
Time.
That tells us the time.
Grade of Braille.
Grade of Braille is interesting. Let's just go in there on our way to the user's manual.
You may use any Braille grade at this point. Main menu.
So that tells you what grade of Braille you can use. There are some cases where you need to type in computer Braille, and by default, Braille Note will tell you that. Other times, it will respect your preferred grade of Braille for typing. So if you prefer to type in grade 1 or computer Braille, you can tell it that and it will respect that. It's quite good. And you can also change the way that you want your Braille displayed. And it's absolutely transparent. So if your default reading grade is grade 2, you just open a document, whether it be a Word file or a WordPerfect file or a plain ASCII text file, and without you having to do anything else, if your preferred grade of Braille for reading is set to grade 2, it comes up in grade 2. Now, as I say, you may have to edit it as a text file in grade 1, but it's displayed in grade 2 without you having to do anything else. We'll just go back and move through the options menu.
Grade of Braille display options.
There's lots in there.
Keyboard settings. Review voice. Visual display. Next appointment.
Next appointment is a good feature. By pressing enter on this, or also hitting a hotkey available from anywhere, it will tell me when my next appointment is, who it's with, what the time is, and whether there's an alarm set for it. And we'll show you the planner a little bit later.
Power and battery status.
This simply tells me how we're off for juice. I'm running it on batteries at the moment.
Level 74% adapter off. Main menu.
So that's fine. Got quite a lot of charge there still.
Options menu. Upgrade Braille paper revision next. Power user's guide.
Here's the user's guide. So I'm going to press enter.
Look up table of contents or index.
And it asks me if I want to look up the table of contents or the index. I can press T for table of contents.
Table of contents. Braille note table of contents.
And just press space to move through the table of contents.
Getting started. Hardware. Word processor.
We've been looking at the word processor, so let's just show you how to open that word processor chapter. I just press enter.
Word processor subindex.
And now we can go through the different sections.
General. What is a word processor? Braille and text. Keyword menu. Documents. Selecting a document. Naming a document. Creating a document. Reading a document. Review commands. What is the cursor? Format indicators.
Format indicators sounds interesting. If I want that, I just press enter.
3.12. Format indicators.
And now I can just read that continuously, if I wish, by pressing G with the spacebar.
3.12. Format indicators. To tell you how a document is formatted, PSoft makes special format indicators appear at particular points in a document. These are both spoken and displayed on the Braille display. You may have encountered a number of special groups of symbols on the Braille
the
display.
I'm going to press the backspace and enter together. And it has stopped and put me exactly where I stopped so I can continue reading. Now, we'll go back.
Exit main menu.
And go...
All main options, continue reading format indicators.
So it remembered where I last was in the user's guide. So if I need to pop out and try something in Braille Note, let's say it told me to go and try a certain trick that I want to learn, I can go and try it and then go straight back to where I left off. In this instance, I'm going to hit no because we'll show you briefly how the index works.
No lookup table of contents or index.
So I press I for index.
Index, Braille Note index.
And one of the things that I get very paranoid about is battery care on these things. Are they nickel metal hydrides or what? It seems to me that these batteries are quite robust. But so I can now press the first letter of the option I'm interested in. It's like being in a list box in Windows.
Back translation topics.
I pressed B because I want to find out about batteries.
Backup. Backup files. Battery topics.
There we go. I press enter.
Battery topics subindex.
And now I can go through and it's given me the index of all the stuff relating to batteries that are in the manual.
General. Charging. Taping. Care. Calibrating the gauge. End of subindex.
Alright, let's try care.
Calib care.
And press enter.
2.4. Battery
care. It's taken me straight there. I can read it.
2.4. Battery care. Running the battery down periodically does not benefit the battery, but it may make the battery gauge more accurate, as described in the next section.
Alright. So as you can see, it's easy to get comprehensive help. You can either use your H cord, or H with a spacebar, from anywhere to get context-sensitive help, including in this manual, for example.
To start auto advance, press space with dots 1, 2, 4, 5, 6. To start continuous speech, press space with G. To return to the subindex, press backspace. To exit the user's guide, press space with E. To move by sentence, press space with dot 4 or space with dot 1. To move by paragraph, press space with dots 5, 6 or space with dots 2, 3. To move by subsection, press space with dots 4, 5, 6 or space with dots 1, 2, 3.
Now I'm going to press E chord to get out.
Exit main menu.
And show you another way to get help. So you've got the manual, you've got the context sensitive help. We can also press K from the main menu.
Keyboard learn mode. To determine the function of any key or key combination, just press the key or key combination. To return to the main menu, press space with E.
So now I'm in keyboard learn mode. If I press dots 4 with the spacebar, for instance.
Move forward an item in a menu or a list.
Now what happens if I press, I don't know, E with the enter key? I wonder if that does anything. No, it doesn't. All right then. Let's press T with the enter key.
Display the time.
So that's a shortcut. And we can press D with the enter key.
Display the date.
We can press backspace and enter.
Stop reading or acknowledge alarm.
So that's really good. It it tells you exactly what you can do. Also, there are, in some of the bigger applications within the KeySoft suite, key announce modes so that you can go in and find out specifically what a function does in, say, the word processor. For example, I don't think if I press B with the spacebar, yeah, that doesn't work here, but if I go into the key announce mode in a document, then I can hear all about the block commands, for instance. And now if I push an E chord,
exit. This key exits the current operation. Exiting now. Main menu.
Yes, that was a tricky one, wasn't it? So it's exited that now. That is the help there, the keyboard learn mode. Let's have a quick look at the planner.
P plan menu.
I pressed P and it says key plan menu. This is where you keep your appointments, your diary. It's very good. And there are a couple of things that I wish it had, but we have to remember that this is always going to be under development. I'd like to see it have recurring appointments. That is the major thing that I would like to see, so that, for example, you can put birthdays and anniversaries and have them come up every year, or perhaps a monthly meeting on the third Wednesday of the month, that kind of thing.
Open planner.
Open planner.
Inbox planner. Print planner. Set up options. End of menu.
And that's all we have. So we're going to open the planner.
Keep plan calendar. Date. Press enter for Monday, 5 March 2001.
That's when I happen to be recording this, so I'm going to press enter.
5 March.
I've got no appointments scheduled today, but I'm going to add one for the sake of this exercise. So how do we add one? Let's press H chord and find out.
Keep plan help menu. Edit commands. Review commands. Scheduling commands.
All right, that's what I want.
Scheduling command list. Schedule a new appointment. Press space with .34S or press space with .26.
All right, that's exactly what I want. So we'll get out of here.
Exit key plan help menu. Exit 5 March. Appointment menu.
And we want to schedule one.
Schedule an appointment.
So I'll press enter.
Appointment date. Press enter for Monday, 5 March.
That's correct. I can enter... one of the things I love about this, I don't have to enter dates in American format anymore. I can enter them in the way that I'm used to. You can configure from here whether you enter dates in terms of day, month, year, or month, year, day. We do day, month, year. So I can now just press enter, though, because it's chosen the right day.
Appointment time.
Now let me just check what the time is at the moment by pressing backspace with T.
17:55 and 24 seconds.
Okay, let's say 17:57.
1757.
And press enter.
Appointment title.
Let's call it main
menu
test.
Test period. Do you wish to set an alarm on this appointment?
Yes.
Yes, appointment scheduled.
And there we go. I think it probably didn't ask me for a... Normally it asks me for a time.
Exit key plan calendar. Date. Press exit key plan menu. Exit main menu.
That I want to have the alarm go off before the appointment. For example, on many of my appointments where I have to interview someone for ACB Radio, I have it going off about 10 minutes before, just to remind me that I need to go to the studio and set things up. What I've done is I've turned the Braille note completely off. And you will hear shortly that the Braille note will wake itself up and make a noise. I hope it's not going to be too loud and distort through the mixer, but we just can't predict these things, because you actually do want it to be quite loud, especially if you're going to be woken up. It's a bit of a shame that I have to make an appointment to wake myself up, but it's still great to have it. So, the Braille note is completely off, the Braille cells are all down, all is right with the world. And we now await the alarm to go off. Now that has come over both the headphones and the keyboard speaker. I'm going to... It is very loud. It may not sound loud to you, but it's very loud. And you can adjust the volume. I'm going to press .36... spacebar and the backspace. I can hardly think it's so loud.
To cancel the alarm, press E. To read the details, press R. To postpone it for 10 minutes, press space. To resume, switch the power on.
Alright, I'll press R to read the details.
R1757, main menu test.
Yep, and I'll press C for cancel.
C, alarm.
And it's trying to say alarm cancelled, and now it's turned itself off again. All happily turned off. So you can do lots of things with the appointment system. You can move through the days. Each day is a separate page. You can search for appointments, obviously. It's got a really nice feature where you can reschedule an appointment. So you, for example, have made, an appointment to interview someone. They've had to change because they've got other plans. And you can just put the cursor in that appointment and reschedule it to another time, and it all just moves it around. Very nice feature. The plan is great, and I'm very impressed with that part of the program. Braille Note also comes with an excellent address list feature, and this gives me a chance to show you also that one doesn't have to pop around visiting all of the menus to quickly access the Braille Note's features. You can, in fact, press from anywhere, if you're in a keyword document or in the scientific calculator or wherever you may be, the first letter of the main menu choice in combination with the backspace key and the enter key. So let's do that. I'm going to press backspace and enter with A.
Key list menu.
And I'm straight into key list, which is the address list feature. Let's peruse the menu options that we have.
Add address, look up address, copy addresses, emboss addresses, print addresses, select key list file, enter menu.
Of course, emboss address and print address relate to brailing or printing the addresses in a braille embosser or a standard printer. I'm going to add an address now. Let's just press the letter A.
Entry list or address list.
And now I can press H with the spacebar if I'm not sure what to do here.
To move through the list, press space. To exit the list, press space with E. Entry list or address list.
So I'll press the spacebar.
Last name.
And last name with a question mark has come up on the braille display as well, of course. And the cursor is there straight afterwards, so I know that the cursor's in the right place for me to type. Let's just type, I guess I'll enter myself in here just as an exercise, so we'll type Mosen, and I can type that in grade 2 braille, and press enter.
Mosen, first name.
I'll type Jonathan, and press enter.
Jonathan, middle name.
I'm not going to tell you.
Title.
And I can put Mr. here.
Mr. period, home phone number.
I'll leave that blank. So you can leave any of these fields blank. None of them is mandatory, except in this particular file for the last name field. And what I've found works is if it's a company or something, I just put the company in the last name field.
Business phone number.
I'll put my business phone number in here. I find the whole process of entering numbers quite interesting in BrailleNote, because I've been used to entering numbers in the lower cells, no matter where I am. But when you encounter a number field in BrailleNote, it's not even necessary in many cases to enter a number sign. You just type the number in upper numbers. So I can just type
06
and put a dash in here, and then 348-8127 and press enter.
Cell phone number, home email address. Computer braille is required.
And here I can type, now it does tell me, you see, in that instance that computer braille is required, so that's quite nice. I know I have to use computer braille, so I type in full, J-O-N-A, and then T-H, not the T-H contraction, because that comes out as a question mark in computer braille, A-N, and then we do a U chord for uppercase,
tap,
and pressed off 4,
Jonathan at,
it confirms. And then we do Mosen.
Mosen period.
.org.
Or business email address. Computer braille is required.
Now, if you're not familiar with computer braille, help is on its way. We can press an H chord here.
Type the business email address, then press enter. For an at sign, press space with U, then .4. For a period, press .46. Enter numbers using lowered letters. For example, 5 is entered with 2, 6. Enter information into as many fields as you require, then to add the record, press space with .26. To move forward or back through the list without changing values, press space or press backspace. To exit the list, press space with E. Business email address.
So because we are using computer braille in this field, you do enter lower numbers, of course, as is the practice in computer braille. You can enter British and the US computer braille. You can set that up. So it's a truly international machine here. That is as much as I'm going to enter in this field, but we'll just take you quickly through the other fields and show you what else there is.
Home fax number, business fax number, street address.
I'm just pressing enter to move through these fields without entering any data.
Street address, line 2, city, state or county, zip or postcode, country, business title, company name, department. Business street address line 2, business city, business state, business zip or postcode, web page, notes.
And then we're in a freeform field. If I press enter to get into the notes field, I'm actually in a regular keyword type system where I can type lots of notes about this individual. Oh, my goodness, I wonder what I'd say. Anyway, I've entered what I'm going to enter, and as the help told me to do, I'm going to press .26 with the spacebar.
Record added.
And the record is added. Let's see if I can look it up.
Add address. Board of Address.
I'm going to press Enter. I could have just pressed L, if I was familiar enough with it, from this menu.
Selection list or address list.
What do? Well, I find out by pressing the Help key.
To review or change the settings, press space. To return to the key list menu, press space with E. To start the lookup now, press Enter. To return to the key list menu, press space with E. Selection list or address list.
So I can search on as many of these fields as I want. I could, for example, ask it to show me all records in the address book with the first name of Jonathan. In this instance, I'll just press the space bar. Last name, I'll type Mosen in here. Now, it seems that I have to type computer braille here. Let's just...
To include this field in the lookup selection, type the letters you want to match. If your entry does not necessarily come at the beginning of the field, press space with .35 at the start of your entry. To start the lookup now, press Enter. To move forward or back through the list, press space or press backspace. You can enter text into any number of fields. To blank out a default value, press space with .356. To abandon the lookup, press space with E.
Now, although it doesn't say computer braille is required, it made a beep at me when I pressed the EN symbol in Mosen. So I type MOS, and then when I do EN, it doesn't like it, so I'm going to have to type EN manually. I would have expected a computer braille is required prompt or something there because it's not letting me braille in grade 2, but I'll press Enter.
Mosen. Jonathan Mosen.
And it's found it straight away, and now I'm...
Last name, Mosen.
In the record.
First name, Jonathan.
And I'm just spacing through it.
Title, Mr.
And you'll notice that...
Business phone number, 06-348-8127.
That is only displaying the fields that are filled in.
Home email address, jonathan@mosen.org. End of list.
I can modify those fields if I want, and I can also add additional fields. It's a reasonably simple process to do that. But really, this is more a demonstration than a tutorial, so we won't go into every aspect of every element of Braille Note because it's a very powerful machine and we've only got 2 hours. So that's a brief look at the address list. It's a nice, powerful feature. It's efficient, and I've found that I've been making very good use of that feature. The only comment I would have about the address book, and from our past interview with Morris Sloan of Pulse Data International, we know that they are aware of this anyway, is that I have built up an extensive, a huge Outlook 2000 address book on the main PC that I use for office-related tasks. And I really would like to be able to have access to that address book on the Braille Note. I would also like to be able to make additions on the Braille Note to my address book and then have those synchronized on the Outlook address book. Actually, while we're on this little subject, the calendar as well, really. So I hope that given that we are running on CE and that a lot of Palm devices do have that ability, that there will be that functionality added to Braille Note in the near future, because while the address book is excellent in Braille Note, it really is a hassle to maintain two separate address books. Of course, one of the features that has everybody quite excited is the email feature in the Braille Note, and I'm just in the process of connecting the modem lead to the back. It's, as I said at the beginning, got a standard RJ11 connector, and I've done that now. And so now, from anywhere, I can push backspace, enter, and E, and that will get us into email.
Email menu.
Here we go. And let's have a look at what we have on the main Keymail menu.
Write an email. Read email. Connect to a service. Set up options. End of menu.
Alright. Let's go into setup options, because if you were starting from scratch, that's what you'd have to do.
Set up options. End of menu.
Hang on.
Set up options. Email setup menu.
Here we go. We're into the setup menu.
Directory of services.
That is a directory of the internet service providers that you have set up in your Braille Note.
Receive options.
Well, we'll have a look at receive options, shall we?
Email receive options setup list. Delete email from service after receiving. Currently, yes.
Now, they've done a very nice job in this respect, because there may be a situation where you are on the road and you only use the Braille Notes email when you are on the road, and that in every other event you're back at the office using your own email. And it may be that you have a very good filing system on your Eudora or your Microsoft Outlook or your PM Mail, whatever the client is that you're using, and that messages may come in that you will need to file. So this keeps the mail on the server after it's been downloaded to the Braille Note. But the Braille Note does seem to know in the latest release that you've downloaded the message. So although it's kept on the server, the Braille Note will now not download the message a second time. So that's quite a good feature if you're using a multiple email client setup.
Size limit for automatic download of email, currently 50K.
This is good as well, because at the moment, the Braille Note is not playing multimedia files or anything like that. I hope it will, because, you know, it's based on the CE architecture, and it should be capable of doing all of those things in the fullness of time. But at the moment, it doesn't, and so chances are very high that if you get an email that's over 50K long, well, it may well be some sort of multimedia file. It could be a very large Word document, of course, and you can change this limit, either raise it or lower it, and you will be prompted. It will ask you, do you want to delete this email from the server? Do you want to just skip it for now so that you can perhaps go online with a Windows client and get it later? And a range of other options.
End of list.
And that's the end of that list.
Size limit or
so we'll exit the menu.
Directory of receive option address list.
Now, the address list is important because it allows you to set up who you are. So we go in there.
Address list file name. Press enter for address list. Your name. Press enter for Jonathan Moten.
That's my name. So I'll press enter.
Your email address. Press enter for Jonathan at Moten.org. Computer Braille is required.
I press enter for that.
Email setup menu. Directory receive address list. End of menu.
And that's the end of the setup menu.
Address list. Exit email menu. Write an email. Read email. Connect to a service. Setup options. End of menu.
And that's the simple menu. Quite a straightforward procedure. Let's go into the directory of services, because that's a critical thing to getting the email working.
Set up email set directory of services. Directory of services menu. Add a service. Look up a service. End of menu.
We'll add a service, and we obviously won't fill in all of the fields.
Look up
for very good
a
reasons. We'll press enter.
Entry list or directory of services.
And what do we do here?
Service name.
Service name. All right, well, let's... I do have an account on a provider called ClearNet, so let's go with them. And we'll type ClearNet.
Clear.
And press enter.
Net modem to use. Press enter for PC Telsoft modem.
You can use a number of modems if you have them. You could connect an external modem to the serial port at the back of the Braille Note. You may also be able to use a modem that's on a PC MCIA slot. But the Braille Notes, at least with the package that I have, comes with a modem built in. I believe it's a software modem. And there have been comments in the past, adverse comments, I have to say, about the speed of this modem. But in recent releases, I've also heard comments from people saying that they believe it has now sped up a little bit. I think it's still a 33.6K modem. I don't think it's 56K. But if I'm wrong about that, I'm sure someone will contact me and let me know, and I can broadcast a correction about that. But anyway, you have choices, but I'm just going to press enter and accept the modem that's built into the Braille Note at this point.
Phone number.
And the phone number. So in this instance, I don't actually know what ClearNet's phone number is, because I very rarely dial in with them from home. But I'll leave this blank for the moment, because we won't actually use this one. I'm only showing you how it all works.
Service username. Computer Braille is required.
So I would probably put something in here like Jonathan.
Jonathan, service password.
I would
Computer
type in a password. I'll make one up. I'll call it, I'll just call it password. Now, what's happening is that the word password has come up on the screen, so it does display the password the first time around. I think this has been a feature request so that you can actually make sure that you've entered it correctly.
Password, email, username.
But now when I go back with the backspace key,
service password, currently 5 stars, computer Braille,
and there we go, it's come up as
email, username,
as stars.
Email, pop server. Computer Braille is required.
Here I would enter the POP server, which in this case I think is something like POP3.clear. .net. .nz. And this is the server that you send your mail through, so it will be smtp.clear.net.nz. Now, if all this sounds complicated, I mean, generally you would get instructions from your ISP about what to enter in those fields. It's common information. Every email client has to be configured for it, so it will be widely available from your internet service provider's help desk.
Currently, no.
This is a setting that you would generally have set to no. I don't really conceive of a reason why in the current implementation of the Braille Note you would want it set to yes. And in fact, setting it to no will speed up your login considerably. It's another hint, by the way, if you're using Windows and dial-up networking. If you have logon to network set to yes, it's going to take you a lot longer to get connected.
Use software compression. Currently, yes.
Yep. The help's a little bit sort of curt and to the point on these ones, by the way. If I just push H with the spacebar, it simply says...
This is usually set to yes. Enter information into as many fields as you require, then to add the record, press space with .26. To move forward, use IP header compression. Currently, yes. Primary DNS address. Computer Braille is required.
Now this one's a little better.
If your ISP automatically assigns DNS addresses, leave this entry blank. Otherwise, enter the IP address supplied by your ISP. Enter information into as many fields as you require.
Most ISPs will automatically assign you this, so you would generally want to leave this blank unless you're specifically told otherwise.
Secondary DNS address. Computer Braille is required. Wait for dial tone. Currently, yes. And a blist.
So that's good. I mean, there really is a nice PPP setup here, the point-to-point protocol that... we tend to use these days for making internet connectivity. And the good thing is that if they do get around to putting web functionality in here, which I sincerely hope they do, these settings are all ready to go for it as well. So I'm going to abort this.
Exit add this record.
No.
No directory of services menu.
Now I'm going to connect. So I'm going to get back to the main email menu.
Exit email setup menu. Exit email menu.
And we're going to choose read mail. I think that's the way I would do it. There are a number of ways to do this. But
write an email. Read email.
Or read email.
Read from which folder? Press enter for inbox.
And I'll press enter, and now it will say...
Check for new email.
Check for new email. Yes.
Yes, service to call.
And it hasn't given me a default, all right? We'll just scroll through here.
Extra.
That's the one. Extra, spelled X-T-R-A.
Dialing.
Oh, look at that. The modem comes through the headphone. So you're getting the modem sounds directly through the mixer. It's now dialing. And it's making the connection.
Connected. Logging on. Login successful. Connected.
Those beeps are just telling me that things are happening, which I appreciate. Connected is still sitting there being displayed on the Braille display. And the time this is taking may not necessarily...
There are 23 email on the server.
Okay.
Checking for new messages.
See, this is the problem I have. It's only been about 15 minutes since I last checked my email, and I'll come and talk a bit more about some of the shortcomings in the email client in a second. The time this is taking may not necessarily be indicative of the time that it will take for you, because the ISPs in New Zealand in the last day or so have had dreadful problems. I was somewhat relieved that we managed to get the Ronnie Millsap interview on the air, because about an hour before it wasn't looking like we were going to. Eventually it should start telling me that it's receiving the messages and things will start to happen, but things are taking a bit longer than normal. So while it's doing that, let me just talk to you about the main concern I have with this email client. And, you know, one has to be a bit generous, because this is...
There are 23 new email. Receiving one.
All right, it's off now. Because this is...
Receiving
I think the email
two.
Client is one of the newer parts of the Keysoft
receiving
suite.
Three.
But for me, receiving so many emails, you can appreciate that I've received 23
receiving
in the last 15
four.
Minutes or so. And I I really need an email client, if it's going to be useful to me, I'm just fading that down a little bit, that has filters or rules. What I mean by that is that I can specify that when a message comes through addressed to a certain address or from a certain address, it should be automatically placed in a folder. Now, the BrowNote does support folders, and you can move things manually to those folders, and we'll see if we can demonstrate that shortly. But it doesn't support filtering or rules, like you would find in Eudora or Outlook Express or any good email client. So that's something that I hope that they will address. I don't know whether it's on their wish list or not, but to me it's absolutely critical. I don't think I could even take this on the road and have, you know, come home at the or come back to a hotel at the end of the day when I might have 700 or 800 emails all going into one place. It just wouldn't be efficient. So, it's now downloading the email, and what I'm going to do for the sake of brevity and your sanity is pause this and come back when the email has been downloaded.
Receiving 23. Finished receiving.
Here we go.
There is no email to send. Entering inbox. Problem with Braille phone bills with a ampersand key disconnected.
Alright, now that first subject line has come up, and that I believe is from the ACBL list, but I can press the space bar.
From dollar less than earthlink.net greater than.
And then press the space bar again. And what it's doing is it's cycling through the fields for this message.
Tuesday 6 March 2001 1156.
That's the date, and that's the date in New Zealand time.
Less than at bell at telepath.com, greater than.
And the astute among you will realize that when I started work on this, it was Monday. Yes, such is the marvels of digital editing. You didn't even know I'd gone away, did you? This is to acbl at telepath.com.
Date, Monday, 5 March 2001, 1544 and 55 seconds minus 600.
Okay, that's the date it was sent, all right?
End of list.
And that's end of list. So, if I want to read this message, I simply press enter. I should say that I would like a slightly more efficient way of being able to deal with this too. I'd like to be able to have included the fields that I want heard when I scroll through the list, rather than having to use the space bar to get to all of those fields. I'd like to have a setup option that tells BrailleNote that what I personally want is the name and the subject, and that would be about it, as long as I could filter, of course, because let's say I set up an email box for my blind tech mail, then I know that it's going to the blind tech list, so when I go into the blind tech folder and the filter has put all the blind tech messages in, all I really want to hear is who it's from and what the subject is. So I'd like that configurability. Anyway, I'm going to press enter.
Top of document, less than exclamation mark dot type.
Okay, now I am now in the standard Keysoft kind of suite of tools. In fact, I can push H with the spacebar to tell me that.
Read your email message using keyword commands. To edit the message, press space with X. To select the email action menu, press space with dots 2-6. Need help with keyword commands?
No, I don't.
No, less than exclamation mark dot type.
No, it's come up with some mime stuff at the top here. It normally doesn't.
Less than dot type HTML public.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. So that's this is an HTML message, and the BrailleNote clearly, I'm just looking, scrolling through on the Braille display, and it's showing me all of the HTML stuff. So if you get an HTML message, it looks like you're out of luck at the moment. There's another good reason why we need web browsing functionality in the BrailleNote, of course, because then there will be hopefully HTML support for things like HTML email. So we'll get out. Well, let's just look at the action menu while we're in here with dots 2 and 6 and the spacebar.
Email action menu. Reply. Forward. Move this email to another folder. Copy this email to another folder. Delete this email from this folder. Print this email. Emboss this email. All. Mark all email. Email action menu.
Okay, so we'll hit D for delete.
One email moved to trash folder. FW when requesting cover.
Okay, there's some messages relating to ACB Radio Interactive. And I can now press dots 5-6 in the spacebar.
3. Need help with forms mode.
And that'll be from another list,
from
let's see. That's the JFW list. So you see they're all going into the one folder. and now I can push dots 5, 6 in the spacebar again. Now it's taken me to the next message to the ADSL list that I'm on, and if I do an H chord.
Email command list. To read this email, press enter. To move to the next field, press space. To move to the next, field, press space. To move back to the previous field, press backspace. To move to the next email, press space with dots 5, 6. To move back to the previous email, press space with dots 2, 3. To move this email to the trash folder, press backspace with dots 2, 3, 5, 6. To mark this email for further action, press space with M. To search, press space with F. To select the email action menu, press space with dots 2, 6. To move forward or back a day, press backspace with dot 6 or dot 3. To move forward or back a week, press backspace with dot 5 or dot 2. To move forward or back a month, press backspace with dot 4 or dot 1. To move forward or back a year, press backspace with dot 5, 6 or dot 2, 3.
Yes, quite interesting.
To move to the first email in this folder, press space with dot 1, 2, 3. To move to the last email in this folder, press space with dots 4, 5, 6. No more commands.
So you got quite a few commands to deal with there.
Exit 2, Tuesday 6 March, from John Rothlisber 3, micro outage is stopped.
And that's, as I say, my ADSL list that I'm on for New Zealand ADSL users.
3, micro outage is a telecom offer. 3, like a show.
And now I'm just going through the messages.
3, sorting incoming mail in Eudora 5 period 0.2.
So that's how it works. Now, let's see if we can press enter on this one. Let's just check who it's from. And it's sent to Blind Tech. I'm sure Amy's not going to send an HTML message, so we'll press enter and read it.
Hi, Lisa. I'm not sure where you change the default behavior as mine sorts by date, but if you press an Alt plus D combination, will not in a message.
All right, and it's reading that fine. Now I can go to the Action menu.
Email Action menu.
And press R for Reply.
Reply to the sender only.
Now, that's a nice feature. That is a nice feature because it's it's one of those things that some people have a lot of problem with, and so Keymail's done a very good job with this. Reply to the sender only. It detects that you are getting an email from a list, and I can put no, I want to reply to the list. I'll put in.
No, include a copy of the original email.
So do you want a quote? Well, yes, I probably do, at least a little bit.
Yes, email message. Top of document. New line.
Now let's just see what we've got here. I'm just reviewing it with the brow display. I've got a couple of new line symbols. And then I've got original message. And then it looks like, it kind of looks like Outlook displays it. So, I go to the top of my
top
message.
Of document. New
and
line.
I'm going to, I'm not actually going to send this message, but I will just type in something here.
Hi,
this is a test. So I can braille in grade 2. And so now it reads like this.
Hi, this is a test. Original message from Amy Rule.
Etc. And I could use my block commands to quickly delete some of the unwanted material because we want to quote economically, don't we, to save time and trouble and everything, and just quickly delete the block. So it it is nice. I'm just going to abort this.
Exit ready to send this email.
No.
Note 1. Send to blindtech@yahoogroups.com.
Oh, okay. Now, because I've hit no to this question, I'm in some more editing features. I'll press enter.
Also send to.
So I can now CC. No, this isn't a CC. It's actually putting in additional addressees in the to field.
Copy to.
This is the CC field.
Blind copy to.
Blind copy. Yes, indeed. How appropriate for. For Brown Note.
Subject, currently read, sorting incoming mail in Eudora 5 period 0.2.
Again, very well done, because there are times when you're reading a thread and the subject matter of the thread has gradually changed, and a Brown Note user can easily take the initiative and change the subject line in here.
Attach a file to this email?
Well, let's just take you through that, because it's a nice feature of Braille Note. Yes.
Yes, folder name, press enter for a key list.
No, I don't want to attach something from the key list folder, so we'll,
List of folders on flash disk, ABC, dictionaries, general.
Alright, well, I'll go into my books folder.
My books. File to attach.
Now.
List of all files
I'll
in my
push
books
the
folder.
T.
thesis.
And press enter.
Attach this keyword document in a different file type.
So this is very nice. I converted the thesis of mine, which is about 300k, that's why I put it in here, to a Word keyword document, the native format of Keysoft. Now, if you are sending this to a blind person who is also a BrowNote user, well, fine. You know, you want to attach it as a keyword document. But if I'm sending it to a sighted person, that may not be much help to them, really. So it's asking me, attach this keyword document in a different file type. Yes.
Yes, attach as which file type? Microsoft Word file.
And what options do we have? Okay, let's just find out how we go through those options.
To select this file type, press enter. To select another file type, press space with .34. Attach as which file type? Microsoft Word file.
So we'll do space with .34.
ASCII text file. Plain Braille file. Rich text format file. WordPerfect file. Same file type as the source. Microsoft Word file.
And I can press enter. And now it's gone away. It's a big file, remember. It's going to obviously first do the conversion and then do the attaching. So this is an extreme example. I'm into extreme examples, especially when you're just testing the boundaries of a new machine. It will be very rare for you to attach a 300k file. And of course, because it's a Word document, I expect it will be even larger than that, because Word tends to have a lot of additional format information. So it's going through the conversion process and then the attaching process. But the truly glorious thing about this is just how easy it is to communicate, to exchange information with sighted people in a completely
attach
blind...
Attach another file?
Attach another file. No, I don't want to attach another file.
No email message.
In a completely blind-friendly environment. I mean, it's quite incredible. Now, I don't actually want to send this, and I want to find a way of not sending it, so I'm going to try and do Q with the backspace key.
Abandoning keyword. Ready to send this email?
No.
Note 1.
I'm just going to see if I can exit now.
Ready to send this email?
No. All right, I'm missing something here. All right, I think what I might have to do is go to the... let's go to yes.
Ready to send yes. Save a copy?
No.
No. Sorting incoming mail in for a file.
Okay, now what I'm going to do is change folders. So let's see how we do that. Let's go up one level.
From which folder? Press enter for inbox.
So let's cycle through the options that are available.
Inbox. Outbox. Sent. Received. All. Drafts. Trash. End of list.
All right, so we'll go back to the outbox.
Outbox.
And press enter.
Sorting incoming mail in you for a 5.0.2.
And I'll just cycle through the fields.
Sprinttech@yahoogroups.com. Tuesday 6 March 2001 12:10. Attachment 1. Thesis.
There we go. So it tells me that I have an attachment. Now I'm going to delete this without sending it. So if you decide that you don't want to send something, you just go into the outbox. Here it is waiting to be sent next time I log on. I'm going to press, as they told me to do, dots 2356 with the backspace key.
One email moved to trash folder. Read from which folder?
And there we go. So that's a brief tour of the email client. I'm just going to go to the main menu now with all six dots and the space bar, and you'll hear that it gives me a bit of prompting. Helps if I press the right key.
There are two email in the trash folder. Empty trash?
Yes, I'll empty the trash.
Yes. Trash emptied of two email. Main menu.
And we're back at the main menu. Now, if you get a moderate amount of email and you don't need to or want to filter your email, this is absolutely a fine email client. It's extremely friendly. The whole business of the file conversions is just awesome, you know, brilliantly designed. Another feature I would like to see added, though, is the ability to do other tasks while you're downloading your email, because the download process can take a while. I would generally, if I had the filtering, use this when I was away from home. So really the speed isn't a bother for me because I rarely get good connections in hotels. I find that even if I'm taking a 56K modem in my laptop, that I'm often only getting 33K connections at best anyway because the hotels have PABXs and all sorts of funny things going on. So I can live with that. But you don't seem to be able to perform other tasks, such as edit a document while email downloads in the background, and I hope they will deal with that. I would like to just briefly come back to this filter thing, because when we spoke with someone from Blazy last year, and I don't know whether this is eventuated because I haven't seen their email program in the Millennium series, but they did say that filters would be available. If filters are available in the Millennium, then that's a huge plus for the Millennium, I'm afraid. I don't agree that filters are some sort of power feature. To give you an example of this, my wife is a very light email user, but she still, even though she's only on about two, I think, email lists, wants to be able to quickly pop in and look at the email that's personal, so that if she doesn't have time to read all the other email, she can quickly deal with the email from friends who've written to her personally. Now, I don't know what Pulse Data thinks their target market is. I imagine students will be a big one, but also professional blind people who want to purchase this for business reasons. Now, when you're a professional blind person and you're on the road, what you want to be able to do is access the information that you need and access it quickly. And it's just no good if you're going to have to sift through all of your email from various lists and things in one huge pile. So I'm really disappointed that this was let out the door without filtering, and I hope that it's something that's addressed soon. We'll go back to the... we'll just check that we're at the main menu now. We are indeed, I believe. Yep, there we go. There are other features that we haven't covered. Let's go through and see what we have to look at. The book reader operates fairly similarly to Keyword, except that you can't edit the files that you are reading. And it did become evident to me when reading quite large documents in the book reader that the Braille Note can take some time to process certain files, particularly the first time where you might be saving them for the first time. It is not instantaneous to get to the top of the file or the bottom of the file from a particular point. Let me just demonstrate that. I'm going to go into the book reader option.
Read book in which folder? Press enter for my books. Book name? Press enter for quotes 1. Computer Braille is required.
I don't know quite why I did that, but we'll press, we'll type thesis, which is my famous long document.
Thesis.
Now, it's loading it, so it is taking some time. And as I say, this is a 300K document. Now, it's found the point that I was at before. You also can't set place markers in the... Oh, I think you can. Let me just be clear about that. We'll just define a place marker here. So we'll do backspace with D.
Define place marker. Letter.
And press A.
Place,
so in fact you can. What you can't do though, this is where I was getting confused, what you can't do is set place markers in any file that is formatted in a non-keyword format. So if you bring in a Word document or a BRF file into the book reader, you can't define a place marker or into keyword for that matter. And I guess that makes sense. So having defined my place, I'll go to the bottom of this file because I can do a WH with the spacebar to tell me where we are.
Page 32, line 16, column 18.
They are Braille pages, by the way. So let's do a spacebar with dots 4, 5, 6 to get to the bottom of the file.
Bottom of document. Repositioning.
Now, repositioning is still on the screen. So it does take quite a while on a large file. And they do recommend that...
Blank.
There we go. So now we're at...
Page 603, line 15, column 3.
So it's a big document. Took me years to write it. they do recommend that for large files that you split up the material to make it easier to access. So if I go to the top of the file,
top of document,
and we're still waiting. Didn't say repositioning that time, but it is because we haven't seen the first line come up on the Braille display, and also normally the first line is spoken by the speech as well. So we're still going to the top of the file,
format
and there
marker.
It is. So that's with extremely large files. But the keybook feature is nice for just browsing, and you can do so to your heart's content, knowing that you're not going to in any way interfere with the content of the file, but you can still put those place markers there, which can be quite useful. I'm reading a book at the moment, for example, that has quotations in. One of the things I thought would be quite useful is to put place markers by those quotations that I think are worth keeping, because I like collecting them, and then go back and copy those quotations into a separate file using the block features. Many of you will recall from this program that back in November of last year, Pulse Data International and Microsoft announced an agreement which will see Microsoft Reader technology implemented in the Braille Note. That's again one of the many benefits of it being a CE device. And so I suppose that the ebook technology will eventually end up in the book reader. I don't know how realistic this is, but it would be wonderful to think also that one day PDF documents might be interpreted by that book reader as well. That really would be good. I'm sure the Pulse Data programmers are feverishly working away on the Microsoft thing since it's been announced. And I suppose that one of the challenges relating to the Braille Note is that it has so much potential. I imagine their wish list at Pulse Data must just be incredibly long. Just before I leave the book reader, I have mentioned earlier in the program that it's possible to read grade 1 material or text material and have it instantaneously translated on the display as grade 2 if you set your preferred reading method to grade 2. But I have found some weirdness with that, and just popping into the book reader has reminded me of that. It's nothing too serious, but it's disconcerting enough to make you do a double take and slow you down if you're reading in Braille. The main one I've found is that the current release of their translator doesn't seem to know to put for the, of the, by the, etc. together. So there's a space between for and the and of and the. Maybe they're getting ready for the UBC. But I'm sure it's one of those things that will be addressed in a coming release. So that's the book reader.
Main menu.
We're back at the main menu now. We also have the scientific calculator.
Address with email. Book reader. Scientific calculator.
I am no mathematician.
Key plus. Zero.
But we're in Key Plus, which is the calculator. It is a full scientific calculator. It has all of those scientific operations and lots of help available as well. So if we go into the help menu.
Calculator help menu. General commands. Basic functions, memory commands, scientific functions, and the menu.
So it has full memory commands as well, so that you can store operations in the memory. General commands, obviously you can do your addition and multiplication and division. There's also the sine, cosine, and tan, and all of those wonderful, more complex functions. So it seems to be a good calculator, but it is certainly a feature that I'm not terribly well qualified to review. I can tell you that it does let me work out my GST, which is the value-added tax that we pay here when I'm doing invoices, and that's good enough for me. So it's a good function. I must say that I thought that the Blazy products did a particularly good job with their calculator, and they had functions in that I don't know whether you could necessarily call them standard calculator functions, but they were useful, like converting centimeters to inches and Fahrenheit to Celsius and vice versa. So I sort of miss those features. I did use those a lot, particularly because I'm often communicating with an American audience that is still using Fahrenheit and inches and things of that kind. But the calculator does seem to be, I'm sure it will benefit many students at all levels. One of the things that got people very much excited about the Braille Note was the active sync feature. I'm going to attempt to demonstrate that now. The first thing I have to do is re-enable the serial port for active sync, because you can also use the Braille Note as a remote speech synthesizer or a Braille display, but you have to make sure that active sync isn't interfering with the process when you do that. So I'm now going to go into my system tray. I happen to have JAWS for Windows running at the moment.
Blank.
So let's see if we can get into the system tray here.
Volume. Task scheduler is ready.
And press N for not connected.
Not connected.
That's the one. and we'll just press enter, which activates the right mouse button.
Open Microsoft ActiveSync.
I don't want to do that.
Synchronize grade. Stop grade.
Sound Forge is taking up a lot of processor time here.
Resolve items dot dot. Connection settings dot dot.
That's the one I want. Connection settings dialog.
Click Get Connected to connect your mobile device to this computer. Status waiting for device to connect.
All right, now the first one is...
Allow serial cable or infrared connection to this COM port. Checkbox not checked.
Yes, I do want to allow a serial port connection to this COM port. It's not checked at the moment. So I'm going to check it.
Check.
And COM1 is the default port. Now I'm going to press U cord for the utilities, U for the utilities, and C for connect to active sync. Now... We're waiting
Sonic
for...
Sonic Foundry Sound Forge,
okay,
Sound
we'll just,
2 Star.
Forget, we'll just wait and see whether we can get any... Okay.
New partnership dialog. Yes, radio button checked.
1 of 2.
All right, it seems to have found it, and it's asking, do I want to create a new partnership? The Pulse Data International people advise one to press no for that, so I will need their advice. And now we have a connection established between the Braille notes and the computer through ActiveSync. One of the big things that I noticed about this that I thought was very cool is that you are not stuck in some sort of mode with the Braille note. So you can be editing your document, you can be working with the calculator, you can be clearing your email, and still the computers can talk to one another. For example, I'm now going to go into Windows Explorer. We'll just bring up Windows Explorer now.
Exploring my list view.
I'm just going through my drives.
Jonathan C.
There's my hard disk.
VN8102D.
I have the Braille Note installation CD-ROM, which contains ActiveSync and a copy of the manual and a few other things.
Talk 5 East. C on apostrophe. Printers.
I'm just
control.
Moving
through engineering
here.
Dot dot. Dial-up networking. HP Simp. Mobile device.
Mobile device, it says. So I'm going to press enter to choose mobile
list
device.
View.
Zero items.
And we'll just, it does take a couple of seconds, I think, the first time.
Dictionary.
There we go.
Books.
And now I am able to peruse the information on the Braille note through Windows Explorer.
Dictionary. Flash disk.
Flash disk is where all of the files are stored that you edit.
Keysoft. Manual. Printers. Temp. Windows. FMM2. MimeTemp.txt. WPTemp.txt.
Alright, I'm going to press F for
flash disk
and press enter. And now I've got all of these folders that Keysoft has been telling us about throughout this Braille Note demonstration.
Not selected ABC file for dictionary, general.
It's a general folder. Now if I go into my books by hitting M,
my books,
you'll find that we have that thesis file
list
we've been playing with.
Thesis.kwb.
There's thesis.kwb, which is a keyword Braille file. Now I can copy this to the clipboard and move it onto the hard disk. It's nice and fast, and if you use the infrared port and your computer at the other end has similar infrared functionality, you can get speeds of up to 1 megabit per second with ActiveSync. So it's really very well done. I haven't been able to fault it yet. The only thing that may confuse some people is, of course, this need to disconnect from ActiveSync when you want to use it as a Braille display, and I'm just going to do that now. And this time I'm going to see if I can get the sounds to play for you.
Desktop, list view.
I didn't have the correct thing selected on the studio mixer when we did that for you to hear the sounds. So let's go back into the system tray icons once again, and this time we're going to find the one that says connected.
Connected.
That's the one. Press enter on that. And
open micro.
Push in for connections.
Connection settings dialog.
And we'll uncheck this.
Not checked.
We're already on the right field and press enter. There we go. That's the. The first noise was the Braille note making its one. The second one was the ActiveSync program on the PC, which sounds quite good in stereo. So that's the Braille note and the PC telling us that the two devices have severed their relationship by mutual consent. And part of the closest of friends.
No focus.
All right. Now, let's go. We're in the utilities menu because we had to get there to connect to ActiveSync. What else do we have?
Connect to ActiveSync. Backup or restore files.
This is a great feature. Let's take a look at that.
Do you wish to backup or restore files?
And we can press B for backup.
B, backup which drive? Press enter for flash disk. Backup which folder? Press enter for all. Make backup on which drive?
And now let's have a look at what we can do here.
For the flash disk, press F. For the storage card, press S. For the Keysoft system disk, press K. To review the list of drives, press space. Make backup on which drive?
So you can back up onto one of these storage cards, and they can hold quite a lot of data, a lot of data. You can put them into the PCMCIA slot that's on the right of the unit. We're going to exit out of this now, I think. So we'll do that, but that just shows you that you can back up. And you can also do an incremental backup. That means that you can just back up the files that have changed since you last backed up. That's a very nice, efficient feature.
Utilities menu. Connect to active backup or pronunciation dictionary.
The pronunciation dictionary is pretty standard. You find it on many screen readers and other blindness-specific products. There's not too much different about that, but we'll just show you quickly how that works.
Pronunciation dictionary menu. Add a word. Change a word. Delete a word. End of menu.
Right, so we can add a word.
Delete, change of add a type word to add. Computer braille is required.
Let's see, we'll type... it wants computer braille, so we'll push...
Caps lock on.
Caps lock on, and type ACB, and press enter.
Type misspelling, computer braille is required. Caps lock on, caps lock off.
Okay, so it turned the caps lock off for me, that's good. I want to now type A, and I think I need to type AY.
I.
No, that's not going to do it. Let's try AYE.
I.
Nope, I just want to get a proper A sound. We'll try AI.
A.
That's it. A, and then C,
C.
And then B.
B, pronunciation dictionary menu.
So, let's go and
add a
review
word.
That.
Change a word. Type word to change. Top of dictionary. Act.
There's ACB as it's originally to be said.
Type misspelling. Press enter for A space C space B. Computer braille is required.
And presumably, it's not going to say space like that, but we'll check.
Pronunciation dictionary.
So we'll go
menu.
Into...
Main menu.
So let's create a new file. I'm going to do that by pressing W in combination with the backspace and enter keys.
Folder name, press enter for general. Document to open, press enter for Michael.
Now, the really cool thing about this system is that if you open a file that doesn't exist... It doesn't just say the file doesn't exist and drop you out of it. It will actually let you create one. So I'm going to create a new file called
Pronounce
Test.
Test document does not exist. Create a new document.
Yes.
Yes, top of document. Blank.
And I'm now going to type main menu is heard.
Here.
Oops, heard
on
ACB.
ACB.
There we go. Radio.
Radio period
and
to line.
Just to review
line,
that.
Document. Main menu is heard on ACB radio.
Ah, so that's the pronunciation dictionary. Now, there's an interesting bug here, I think, in that we should be able to press backspace and enter and U to get to the utilities menu.
Keyword menu.
But it doesn't let me.
Keyword menu.
Now, I can, for example, press E in backspace and enter.
Email menu.
Yeah, but not U.
Email menu.
Well, that's interesting. Well, we'll go
main
to the utilities menu from here.
Backup or pronunciation date and time set.
That allows you to set the date and time. That's straightforward.
Application program.
Application program, I guess this is where you can run Keysoft-related applications that they may well develop. I hope that they will release a software development kit in the future, and that will allow a lot of clever people to do a lot of clever things with this device, particularly given its CD architecture.
Miscellaneous options.
And we have a few things in there.
Miscellaneous up active sync connection, currently serial. Compatibility mode, currently off.
This compatibility mode allows you to turn on a little bit more of the Blazy functionality. For example, when you have this on, B and the spacebar will backspace, and they move the block command somewhere else.
End of list.
So that's the miscellaneous options. Now, you can also use the Braille note as a Braille display. And I've had very good luck with this, both with Window Eyes and JAWS for Windows 3.7. Both have excellent support for the Braille Note and take full advantage of the thumb keys and the cursor routing and all of those good things. You can also use Braille Note as a remote synthesizer. and it works really well. It's quite snappy, in fact, very responsive. You're able to use this by telling your screen reader that you're running a Keynote Gold standalone speech synthesizer connected to the COM port that has the cable running between the Braille Note and the PC. And that really is all there is to it. It just behaves like a Keynote Gold standalone speech synthesizer and works really well. So that's an overview of the Braille Note. It's impossible really for me to show you all of the features, all of the things that I would like to show you in a program like this, because I can only just scratch the surface. This is a fully fledged personal organizer running under Windows CE. The current release, which I have, seems to be quite stable. The product's been out for less than a year now, and some of the teething problems, which are inevitable in a complex beastie such as this, do appear to have been dealt with in a timely manner by the programmers at Pulse Data International. There are a number of things that I would like to see added to this, and of course that's the exciting thing. I think it must be quite difficult for Pulse Data because they know they have such a capable device here because it's based on Windows CE. I suppose web browsing would have to be the top of the list in terms of new features. I'd also like to see the email filtering introduced. In fact, given that the email is already built into the application, in some ways I think they should get that right first. I'd like to see email filtering introduced as soon as possible. I do like the stopwatch in the Blazy Note Takers, and I miss not having a stopwatch. I've found that terribly useful for a number of tasks. Surprisingly useful. I never thought I would use it, but now that I don't have it in the Braille Note, I sort of miss being able to have access to that, so that's a possibility. Also, at this stage, there's no LAN awareness, no network connectivity in Braille Note, and hopefully that will be looked at some point down the track. I understand it's been put on the wish list, which I'm sure is a long one. A macro language would be another thing I'd like to see as well. You can do some good things with a powerful macro language, and even just simple things like doing regular replacements of various strings. You may have a reason to do a particular sequence of replacements on a fairly regular basis, and to be able to put those in a macro would certainly be a welcome addition to the rich feature set of Braille Note. So there are a number of things, but overall, it's a great machine. I highly recommend it. I don't regret having obtained one, and I have recently just bought a Braille Note. I'm really impressed with it, and it can only get better. There is a users list that you can join if you want to find out more about the Braille Note, and there's also a web page. So the web page is the easy bit. I'll give you that first. It's at www.braillenote.com. It's www.braillenote.com, where you can find information about Braille Note and the others in the family. As I said earlier, if you're not a Braille user, you can still use the QWERTY version of this, the voice note, which has the either the QWERTY keyboard or the Braille keyboard without a display, which is considerably cheaper because it's the Braille display technology that really adds the cost to a unit like this. You can also subscribe to that email list. To do that, you need to send a blank email message to join-braillenote. That Braille Note is all one word. Join-braillenote at Lyris, Lyris, .pulsedata.co.nz. In the United States, Humanware is the distributor of the Braille Note family of products, and they're at www.humanware.com. And having been on the Braille Note list for a wee while, I must say I've been very impressed with the helpfulness and the responsiveness of the Humanware and Pulse Data people. It's really good to be able to use an email list and know that the chief guy who writes it all is actually on the list looking at suggestions and responding. And a lot of other helpful people are there as well. So I guess if I had to give it a rating, I'd give this about 8 out of 10 at the moment. There are a couple of things I'd like to see added to existing features, and I really want the web surfing added. But I'm very pleased with how it is, given that the product is less than a year old in terms of it's actually fully being on the market.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Main menu.
And the time has come for us to log off for another week. Thank you very much for listening. I'm Jonathan Rosen, inviting you to join us again next week for Main Menu.